And welcome to another edition of Odyssey. This is a show where we talk about ancient mysteries and spiritual and metaphysical topics and non-corporate, unfiltered news of the day. Well, we have a great subject today. We're going to discuss aromatherapy for the first half. And aromatherapy is really important. I know we have a metaphysical and spiritual audience. And I want to introduce you to this subject. It has had a very powerful effect in my life. I'm a massage therapist, and I learned about it in school. It's one of the first things they taught us. So I'll be throwing out what little knowledge I know, but we're going to defer to an expert. Her name is Rachel Fowler, and she's a certified aromatherapist. And I just want people to function at their physical and spiritual peak. I want them to be mentally focused. And aromatherapy is a powerful tool. It doesn't cost a lot of money, and it can really help you. So welcome to the show, Rachel.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
Okay, this is great. So we met at this great festival in Portland, Oregon. It's called the Saturday Market. And I know you're a certified aromatherapist. Why don't you tell me a little bit about how you got into aromatherapy and what is your training?
Absolutely. Well, basically, I was introduced to it through a doctor I worked for about 12 years ago. And she actually treated with herbs and Chinese medicine and homeopathy. Well, basically, I found a school, and actually it's based here in Portland, Oregon. And it was really important that I find a really good, reputable school, because there's a lot of little courses that you can take, and you know, you wanna do it right if you're gonna do it. And so basically, I've been studying off and on for about 12 years on my own, and then certified for almost 6 years. And the certification process is basically how far you wanna take it. It did take me a couple years to finish my certification, but learning is constant. You know, you're always growing, you're always learning new things. So that really never stops.
So when people in their own community, because this is a nationwide show, of course, if they're in Portland, we'll give them a way to contact you. But when they're looking for aromatherapists, they should find someone who's certified then.
Exactly. Because, and you know, certification is kind of a loose term, because you can get like a little tiny certificate for taking a, you know, a few hour class. This is something that is an accredited school. You want to make sure that someone knows what they're doing, and has some, you know, some weight, you know, that holds actually a certification through a reputable school.
Okay, let's get into the history. We know that there are essential oils in the Bible. You know, the wise men gave the gifts of myrrh and frankincense, and Cleopatra bathed in herbs. And so let's go back and talk about the history and the uses and bring it up to the present.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it goes very far. And documentation really is thousands and thousands of years ago. But even prior to that, you know, our survival depended on essential oils, basically. We have a long history with them. And basically, you know, back then in Egyptian time, Roman times, they were used for infectious disease. If you can imagine, plagues were rampant back then. There was no sanitation, you know, I mean, and bugs. I mean, if you can even think now when we get, you know, flies and fleas and, you know, hornet's nests and all that stuff, just picture yourself back then. You know, everything is dirt. There's no, you know, there's nothing. There's no sewer system. So basically what they did is they incorporated that into their lives, essential oils and plants, aromatic plants, because they can ward off things, and they're antibacterial naturally. They cleanse the air and many other things. They repel insects. So, you know, history, the use of them was vital to really survive. You know,
absolutely.
And so, yeah, it's really interesting when you go back. So really, my job has been, it's been wonderful, because it is a big history lesson about how these were applied in daily life, you know, and how we can use them now and how they still are very vital for our survival.
Well, since we're on that topic, let's get practical here. And so if people want antibacterial oils, what could they use around their house, and how could they use them to have a clean environment?
Well, mainly, you know, it's so wonderful, because aromatic plants are very versatile. They can do many things. They have a wide range. Versus modern medicine, they isolate these chemicals, and they can only be used for certain things. Aromatherapy is very, very versatile. So whereas, like, say you, for some reason, can't stand citruses, even though they're great antibacterial and many other things, you can find something that you would like in a different, you know, smell. So versus, like, eucalyptus. There's citruses, there's, you know, the really mentally type of essential oils, there's the flowers, of course. So there's a wide range. So basically, it's what you like and what you want to incorporate into your life. If you love lemon, wonderful, because that has a lot of wonderful qualities. It's actually a sedative. People think that lemon is a stimulant. It's not. It's actually a sedative. It actually, calms you. And so, you know, it's really personal that way. It's really wonderful. So lavender, of course, is a wonderful essential oil to use. Lavender has many uses, though. The range is very, very huge. You know, it is a sedative, but it also has is an analgesic. It's great topically. It's great for numbing. It's great for burns. You know, it's also increases your white blood cells. So it has many actions to it. And so the range is huge, really.
Now, you know, a lot of people go to health food stores and there's all different kinds of brands. How do you find a pure oil, a really top-notch, the best oil you can get?
Well, basically your nose. You know, it takes a lot of training to really know. There is a lot of junk out there, and unfortunately, and people pass things off. And really, you want to find a company that's their mission is not just about making money. And that is what is really important to me and vital to my business, is that I want to help others. I want to give them products that are real, that are 100% natural. And that is the key. Where is it being sourced from? You have to ask questions. Plants grow all over the world, and essential oils, they are very, basically, the components are very important. You don't want to just go in your backyard and grow something and think you can distill it and get the best, you know, quality oil. Plants are native and are grown in regions of this world and have a purpose. And that's what's wonderful about trading and really getting oils from their source. Say like tea tree from Australia, you really only want to get it from there because it's native to that. The soil, the climate, everything is very important to that plant there, whereas you wouldn't want to grow that in the United States. Now, some plants can grow in different regions of the world, like lavender. We grow a really good crop here in Oregon, also in France and England. We have similar climates in Oregon to the other countries. But you have to be careful about where they're sourced from, and you have to ask questions. Make sure it says 100% pure essential oil, no fragrance oils. And, you know, really, when you smell the difference, you'll know, and you will be trained because you'll know what to look for. You know, we're very smart that way. Is, you know, you can remember a smell from childhood. It'll take you back. You'll whiff something, and it'll take you instantly back. So we have that capability of really, as long we listen, you know, we really need to listen.
Right. So we'll know if it's watered down or if it's pure and strong.
You know, now some, they'll fool you. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of companies, and that's why, you know, I'm a crusader for this. And I think it's really important that you ask questions, that you know the source, that the people know where they're sourced from, you know, that because some people who get into this, they don't have the right training. They're wanting to make money. They're making products. They're passionate about it, but they're not qualified. They're not asking the right questions. And so basically it's just doing a little homework. You know, there's some good health food stores that are offering great essential oils. They should say pure 100% essential oil. That's really important. And, you know, use your nose. Your nose won't lie, you know, to you. It'll tell you exactly, you know, what it is.
That's,
you know,
really good advice. Now, we have a very spiritual, metaphysical audience. If they go into their daily meditation, what would be some good blends they could use, or single essential oils, and how would they use them?
Yeah, well, I do recommend blending because aromatherapy is preventative medicine on many different levels, and you can incorporate different plants together and they become even stronger. It's called a synergy. They use it with herbs as well, like, for instance, lavender. Lavender is a sedative, but when you couple it with like-minded plants, so to speak, it even becomes greater. So I actually have a blend for sleeping, for calming, that is lavender with Roman chamomile, marjoram, and rosewood I put in there just to kind of balance those three, because they kind of fight for attention, each of those plants, and rosewood just kind of makes them all friends and balances them out. But basically, when you couple all of those oils together, it becomes a very powerful sedative. And it's truly wonderful. And so if you really want to stimulate yourself or, you know, give you some really good clarity, you can couple plants like the eucalyptus, the peppermint together. You can do a blend, you know, a really invigorating blend like that. You can do some clary sage, a very fresh top note, with bergamot, that's a very fresh top note. And, you know, there's also like the mint, peppermint by itself. You can sweeten a little bit with some citrus or bergamot, and so forth. You know, it's really never ending if you want to get into blending. And a lot of oils work well together, you know, and so you can experiment. And they do, like I said, they do many different things. So the range is very great.
Right. One of the first things I did that really helped me out is in the morning I would always go for a cup of coffee. Now instead, I have a bottle of peppermint by my bed.
Yeah.
And I inhale it 10 times, and that's a much better and much healthier than coffee, let me tell you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. and it's just the stimulating factor and waking you up and also breathing that in. That's really excellent for your lungs. You know, you expand the lining in your lungs. You take pain out. You know, peppermint's an analgesic. It's actually numbing. So it can get rid of headaches and topically pretty much anything. You know, you get a little bite or, you know,
mm-hmm.
It can be put on topically. It's a pretty incredible plant.
Now, let me ask you, when I was in massage school, there were a couple different points of view about applying it to your hands and feet. I had one teacher that said, yes, it went directly into the bloodstream, and another teacher that said, no, it does not penetrate the skin. So what do you feel about that?
It absolutely penetrates the skin. You have to look at your body. Your skin is your largest organ. I think many people don't realize how huge it is. You know, we just look at our skin as just kind of not there, almost, you know, not conscious of that whatever we put on our skin readily absorbs into our bloodstream. Your blood is right under there, and your pores are just ready to take that in. So absolutely it goes into your bloodstream. And then via your lungs as well. So when you're breathing aromatherapy and essential oils, they're volatile. They lift into the air and they go right into your lungs. And so, yes, I would absolutely, hands down, your skin definitely absorbs.
I agree with you, because the teacher who said that they absorb was much healthier and much more positive. And,
yeah.
And the other teacher was really from a business background and had just come into the spa industry and had a more traditional outlook. So I agree with you.
Yeah.
So let's go back to the citruses. Let's go back to orange and lemon and lime.
Yeah.
Now, isn't it like 1,000 orange peels that it takes for 1 ounce? It's very concentrated, isn't it?
It is. It is, exactly. And so the material, you know, is definitely important. And, you know, you always hear that the peel is more nutritious than the fruit, right?
Which you cannot eat, of course.
Exactly.
Right.
And so what happens is they take the peeling off from these citruses, and they do, it's actually like a perforated grid where they're poking. And you know when you open or peel an orange and you peel it back and you immediately smell it, it's that tiny, you can't see it, or sometimes you can, just those little tiny little oils that, you know, spurt into the air and you smell them right away.
Right.
Well, citruses are top notes, and so you readily smell that. And basically what they do is they extract that little oil in there from the peel, and it's much more nutritious. You know, it's got the vitamin C as well in it. And then they wash it off. They extract that out of the plant. So it's actually not from the pulp of the plant, the citruses from the fruit. It's from the peel. And then they bottle it. And it actually has all of these incredible properties to it. In a wide range of use, you can clean with it. It's antidepressant. It's antibacterial, like I was talking about. And I really want to stress the antibacterial action of essential oils, because there are a lot of synthetic antibacterial antiseptics on the market. I'm really passionate about this one, because I believe that we are tricking bacteria with these synthetic antibacterials.
Right.
We're tricking them into thinking that we're killing them, but we're not, and they're coming back stronger because we're not doing it right.
I see.
And we're getting these super viruses that are just taking over. You know, I can't believe how sick some people are getting, you know. And when you really take a look at that and how nature really wants to do that, you know, we just need to let it. We need to let it do its thing. We need to incorporate these into our life so that it's agreeable, so that we're actually functioning on a level that is supposed to be, you know, with the, you know, with curing things, with preventing things from happening.
Absolutely. Now, what about some of the oils that people associate with putting on their food, like rosemary and thyme? What would you use those for in the liquid essential oil form?
Well, basically, you can incorporate that. I would say, you know, essential oils are volatile, and volatile means that they break down. They are, but there's a lot of misconception because of the oil in there. It's actually almost the consistency of water. Most essential oils are. They're not resinous. There are some resinous plants like patchouli, the sandalwoods, the vetiver, and you can almost see why they would be more, you know, have a viscosity to them. But plants in general, aromatic plants, are volatile. And so when you're taking the essential oil out, you have to be careful. You don't want to damage it. And that's why I always tell people when they're going to treat themselves, when you fill a bathtub up, wait to put your oil in because they are going to, you know, release their properties with heat. And so when you're cooking with them, you have to be careful. I saw this show about cooking desserts with lavender and like creme brulee and things like that. You want to cook what you're, you know, whatever the base is of what you're cooking with to the heat and then let it cool and then add your essential oil. So if you're going to flavor something with rosemary essential oil, wait, don't put it in at the highest, you know, point of heat. You want to wait.
Okay, now what about hair and skin care? Just having really luxurious, you know, great hair and skin. How can you use essential oils for that?
Well, basically incorporating them, putting them, you know, most of my stuff is separate. It's all base oils, and I add my essential oils to blends the way I like it. So you could buy like an unscented lotion for your face and add essential oils to it. I have a really wonderful chamomile lavender blend that I like a lot. It's great for inflammation. It's very soothing topically. And then you can, you know, tea tree. I know a lot, there's just, you know, a lot of information out there about that plant. It's an amazing plant. It actually draws impurities out on a very internal level. Great for respiratory as well as, you know, topically for acne. Very powerful plant. And what you can do is just incorporate that. What's wonderful about tea tree's range too, as I said, it does extract impurities. It's a great antifungal, so it's good for, you know, those weird skin eruptions. It's great for gargling, so you can keep it pure and just have that for, you know, and I'm talking a couple drops at the most. And that's another thing. People think that plants, hey, you know, here's a wonderful plant. I'm going to use a ton of it because it's a plant, you know.
Right.
It's contrary to what you would think. This is medicine. These are very concentrated. You don't need a lot. Less is more with essential oils. Less is more. I can't stress that enough.
And why don't you talk about carriers? Because people don't put these directly on their skin. It's too concentrated. You have to use a carrier, like if you're doing a massage. So why don't you explain how that works?
Well, there's many different kinds. I do recommend that you use a plant or a nut sourced from a base oil, like sweet almond oil, jojoba. Peanut oil is really good for bones. I have that in my joint blend. And learning a little bit about what you're putting on your skin. Mineral oil, I'll tell you right now, people ask me that. Can I just put this in a baby oil or mineral oil? Mineral oil is the byproduct of gasoline. And if you see that little term petroleum, that's actually gasoline-based.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It is, and it's more expensive to get rid of mineral oil than it is to sell it.
They use it because it's cheap.
Exactly. And what happens with a lot of products is they're breaking them down. You know, we've gone through this technological chemical. We are, you know, the chemical world now is very advanced. And what happens is you isolate all these things and you break them down. They're cheaper to sell. And then it's mass produced. It's all over. And then people are using all these. And I really believe all these chemical components of things are depositing into our body. And that's why we have these epidemics. That's why we have, you know, breast cancer at its highest. I truly believe, you know, I can talk on and on about that one. But I think that when you're naturally sourced, you know, a plant that is, you know, being used for what it's meant to be, agreeable to our environment, like a, you know, a base oil, like a sweet almond oil or jojoba, there's sesame. It depends on your skin type. There's grapeseed, but you have to be careful with what you want. What is the effect? You want it to penetrate, but you don't want it to leave a film. whatever your skin type is, you just have to do a little bit of research and find out. But there's a lot of really nutritious oils. Avocado is a wonderful oil. You've got the fatty acids in there, you know, wonderful for your skin, for eczema. And it just depends on what it is uniquely to you that you need the most of.
You find a natural oil, you put a couple drops of the essential oil in it, and then you put it on your skin. You massage
exactly.
it into your skin.
Yeah.
Now, we have, you know, so many people go to the fancy department stores and they buy Calvin Klein perfume at $50 an ounce.
Sure.
What can they use for a cologne or a perfume instead with aromatherapy?
Well, the main difference, you know, the chemical components of perfume are very strong. They're very lasting. Essential oils are volatile, like I said. So they, and that's really what's wonderful about them is they break down. So whereas you can put it on your body, some of my blends people like to wear, but you're not going to be overpowering. You're not going to smell them all day long. They're not going to be left really strong on your clothing. And so really it's up to you. I know I have a really wonderful blend called Free Spirit. It has a very fresh top note to it. It's very uplifting. It's an antidepressant. It's euphoric. And actually, just out of the bottle, you can put a couple drops on your skin to scent yourself. There's florals. There's ylang ylang. There's rose. Those are a little more expensive when you get into the florals with rose and jasmine and like orange blossom. Those can be pretty pricey because the material that it takes to extract the essential oils from. But generally, you know, I have blends that you can wear as perfume, but you have to put it in a base of like jojoba oil to really make it long lasting. Because it is different than perfumes, you know.
Okay, and then as far as putting drops into a candle and burning them around the house, how does that work? Is that a good idea?
Well, candles actually take heating, you know, to make. And when you see a candle that says essential oils and it's very pungent, it's most likely not essential oils unless it's if it's a citrus, like a really strong citronella or something like that. But generally, I don't really recommend blending essential oils with the candle or if you have a company or you are wanting to make candles with essential oils because they're not perfume. They are going to break down. And so what I recommend is using an aroma jar or a diffuser, aroma pot. You can even use a little pot of water, you know, a little saucepan.
Right.
It doesn't have to be really fancy. Some kind of heat source because that, when you put essential oils to the heated water, it helps release their actions into the air to breathe it that way.
So just think having a diffuser of like sandalwood and jasmine around your house, wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and you know, it's so fun because your house doesn't have to take on just one scent. You know, you can play, you can do, or it can if you just you know want to stick to a couple of smells. But it's really fun because you can create things. You can whatever mood you're in, whatever mood you want to create. You know. You can add it and then the next day start over fresh, you know. And remember the antibacterial action. These are killing bacteria. And back in through history, these were vital. They killed plagues. I mean, if you can imagine the things that people were getting and wiping it, you know, these are wiping out communities, plagues were.
Right.
But if you look through history in movies, sometimes you'll see these burning of unguents and powders and things like that. These were essential oils. And you think it is very romantic, and it is you see it, and you just think, oh, these rituals and the offerings and everything. But it was much much greater than that. They were actually doing this so that they could survive.
Okay. And what about breathing problems and decongestants? How about eucalyptus for that?
Absolutely. And there's many. And yes, eucalyptus has many many actions. It is an incredible plant. It has a huge range. It's a decongestant. It's an expectorant, which actually expands the lining in your lungs.
Mm-hmm.
It's also an analgesic. It's numbing, so you can take rid of that, take away that surface pain. I use it in my muscle blend. I use it in my arthritic blend. Really good topically, but yes, absolutely gives you clarity. Really can take away pain. You know, when we get the sinus, you know, really tender foreheads, you know, where you're just, and we take a lot on, you know, America is very driven. We're a very driven society. And what happens is our nervous systems become shot, you know, and really aromatherapy targets the nervous system and really helps expel that, you know, get the stress out so that you can retain your youth, you know, and really be vital in what you want to do, what you want to do in your life, you know, and incorporating that, preventing things from happening, because that's key, you know, with anything is prevention. With good diet and exercise, incorporating aromatherapy, you won't need these things, you know, you won't become chronic with illness.
And they're not that expensive. I mean, I've visited you at this festival we have every weekend called the Saturday Market, and we're talking like $8, I mean, $10. It's not that expensive for aromatherapy, right?
No, it generally not. And you know, I am catering to a huge range here, you know, with my business. I want to offer products, you know, pure and for everyone to afford them. There's, you know, a lot of places on the market that are overcharging. And I know it just depends, you know, I'm in it for, you know, a lot. I want to help people. So I'm not going to overcharge for something. If I can make a little profit and still give these to people, that's what I do.
Well, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, basically, I do have a web page. It's Soul, S-O-U-L, Essentials, ESCENTIALS.com.
And why don't you hear that again?
Yeah, S-O-U-L, Soul, Essentials, ESCENTIALS.com. And you can contact me through there. I do sell out of the Portland Saturday Market every single weekend. And if you have any questions, you can contact me through my webpage. I have quite a bit of products, but I'm developing my webpage or my website because it is very involved. My message is very great.
It's important to find a person like Rachel who's really more of a teacher than a salesperson. If you notice, she's, you know, doing a lot more teaching than selling. And that's how she is. I met her in person. This is how she really is. So just find a person with that personality.
Yeah, exactly. And that what is their goal? What is the, you know, I think on the greater scale of how I want our world to evolve, you know, and how I want to give back power to the people and know that there are a lot of things you can do. And even, you know, we have these problems in our yards with bugs. Geez, there's aromatic plants are excellent bug repellents. You know, I was just planting some stuff yesterday. Rosemary, plant that in your garden.
Really?
bugs don't like certain essential oils. They just don't. People ask me about the organic level too. Do I have to buy organic grade? No, you do not, because a lot of aromatic plants do not need pesticides to kill bugs. They are already, you know, they are. And so, and then when you look at the distillation process and the burn off, basically, you're getting a really great oil. And someone can sit there and tell you that organic is better. Of course, if you're going to eat organic and you're going to put that in your body, but essential oils, the way that they distract them, I really believe that they're fine just using the pure essential oil. Organic is so expensive, and I think that it's going to confuse people, and really maybe we lose people doing it over that because it becomes too complicated and expensive. And I believe that, you know, just incorporating those, you know, very simple essential oils, and, you know, the ones we've talked about, they do get more involved, some plants that people have never heard of, but generally it's things that you know, culinary herbs, just in pure essential oil, the blood of the plant. That's what an essential oil is.
Right, we're using them anyway. It's just a more concentrated form. Well, I want
to
thank you, Rachel, very much for being a guest today.
My pleasure.
You've been very educational. I'm going to have you sign off, and we will go to your website. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that was a great guest, Rachel Fowler at soulessentials.com. And now we're going to continue on with the rest of the show. It's one of my newer shows, so I'll tell you a bit more about myself. My name is Mike Schultz, and the best way to get to know me a bit better is to go to my website. I'm at fountainsofyouth.com, and my background is in the spa industry. I'm a massage therapist and an esthetician, which is a skincare specialist, and that's been my world over the past 10 years, and I'm a student of metaphysics and ancient mysteries, and I recently released a DVD called The Sands of Time. And that really goes back into all of the ancient monuments that have been left behind all around the world. The pyramids, which were not just built in Egypt, they were built in all over the world. They were built in China. They were built in Mexico, in South America. They were built in India. We had very sophisticated, advanced societies back around 3000 BC, and I really examined this. I put together a lecture and a slideshow, and it's called The Sands of Time. And you can find it and read a biography about myself at fountainsofyouth.net. That's with an S, plural, fountainsofyouth.net. Everything's on there. Or, of course, you can link up to the Odyssey show through the bbsradio.com website. And I'm thrilled to be on this network. It's wonderful. I'm in good company with people like James Gilliland and all the rest. So anyway, I thought one of the services I offer nationwide is tarot. I'm a sensitive tarot card reader. I had a great teacher a number of years ago and learned a really practical system that really helps people. So I want to take some time and talk with all of you about how you find a tarot reader and what you bring to the table before you even go there to get the most out of a tarot session. Because what tarot does, there's 78 different cards in a deck, and they cover all the different range of emotions and human feelings that human beings have. And once again, I do read over the phone nationwide. Tarot does work over the phone. As a matter of fact, I used to work for a psychic line, but I wasn't too comfortable with it because it was quite expensive. It was about $3 a minute, and it was just too expensive, I felt. So I no longer work for a psychic line. I just do it on my own. And I can charge whatever I want then, and, you know, a much more reasonable fee. So anyway, let's talk a little bit about tarot. It's a very ancient system, and what it helps show you is your imbalances. If you're acting, you know, if you're spending too much time alone, too seclusive, the tarot will point that out. If you're partying too much alcohol, the tarot will point that out. If you're, you know, if you're too selfish, or if you're too lazy, or if you're just spending all your time working and not enough time on your social life, the tarot will clearly point out any imbalances in your life. So it's a wonderful tool and a wonderful gift. And I hope that all of you go for a tarot card reading every so often when you just need to step back and pull back and clarify where you're going in your life. You know, life is a journey, and I always think of it in terms of like the Wizard of Oz, like you're Dorothy on that journey, and you meet these characters along the way, the Scarecrow and the Wizard and the Tin Man and the Lion, and each one kind of helps her and gives her a gift. A tarot reader, we're like those wise people that help you on your journey and your road through life. Because we all have a dharma. A dharma is your ultimate purpose and your ultimate goal in life. And I really help people kind of clarify that and find that so they can really go out and reach that emerald city at the end of the road. So the first thing to do is to find a good reader. It has to be somebody you resonate with. And, you know, if you feel you resonate with me, you can reach me and we'll do a phone reading. It's a $25 charge through PayPal for a 30-minute reading, so it's a pretty reasonable price. Or I do hour readings as well, and that's at my website, fountainsofyouth.net. And so what you want to do before you go to a reader is you want to clarify which topics you want to discuss, first of all. I feel like the more specific the question is, the more specific the answer is. If somebody just walks into me and says, well, am I going to be happy next year in 2007? I mean, I can do a reading on that. It's going to be a very general, broad answer. I don't think it's going to help them that much. Part of my job, half the battle, is to help them generate a specific question that they can really take away practical information from. So what I would do to them is say, well, you know, what are your plans for next year? Do you have any specific goals for 2007? And then they start to get more specific. They start saying, well, sure, I want to go, I'm thinking of going to medical school. You know, I really want to enroll in medical school next year. So I'll look at them and I'll say, wow, that's a big commitment. That's going to be 4 years out of your life. And, before you do that, you know, let's do a reading on that. Let's see if, you know, that's really your life's purpose and your life's journey. And, you know, I had a client who asked this last week. I won't name names, of course, but just very anonymously. And when I pulled the reading on this young lady, what it turned out is that she wanted to go to medical school for kind of the wrong reasons. She was kind of escaping some issues in her personal life, and that's what we ended up uncovering, and that's what tarot does. It peels back the layers of your life like an onion. it gets to kind of those bottom hidden agendas that we all have. And it's hard to see them yourself. You almost need a complete stranger to look back and just and say, wait a minute, whoa, if you're going to go to medical school, make sure it's for the right reasons and you're not just hiding from life or trying to keep yourself busy so you don't have to deal with some personal issues. And then you're going in for the right reasons, and then it's going to, if it's truly your life's journey, then you know, the doors will open and you will be successful. So that's one issue. Of course, you know, the two main topics people come to me for are love life and career. And once again, if you go to my website, fountainsofyouth.net, you can read about my tarot services. They are nationwide through the telephone. And you can learn about my DVD as well over there at fountainsofyouth.net. So love life and career are the two main issues that people come to me and talk about, and of course that's a huge chunk of our adult lives, so it's important. So let's get into some of the other issues. You can ask in tarot about the past, the present, or the future. Now, if you ask about the past or the present, the answers I give you are going to be set in stone. They've already occurred. But if you ask me about the future, the reading is not set in stone. It can still be changed if you change your behavior. For instance, I had a client ask me about a love life question. She said, am I going to have, you know, am I going to meet Mr. Right in the next 6 months? And I looked at her cards in the reading, and there was nothing. I said, no, it's all just work, and there's nothing there. And she was agitated by this, and what ended up happening is she changed her behavior. She changed the outcome. She got herself out there. She started dating more. She put herself out there and changed her lifestyle instead of sitting home and reading a book on a Saturday night, because that's what she had been doing. And indeed, she was able to overcome that tarot reading and change the outcome. So future readings, definitely, you can change your behavior and change the outcome. There's still time. So you can ask about the past. You can ask, maybe something bothered you that happened 20 years ago. Maybe some incident occurred and you want to know why. Maybe your parents got divorced and it affected you horribly in your childhood, and you want to know why that played out spiritually. You can ask about that event. Now, you can also, in a way, ask about other people, but only as they pertain to you. You can't just say, well, tell me what's going on with my neighbor. You know, is my neighbor having an affair? That's not an ethical question to ask. But what you can ask is, gee, I think my neighbor is attracted to me. How does my neighbor feel about me? So if it pertains to you, you can ask about other people. So I would pull a spread, and I would either see romantic interest in that spread or I wouldn't. I might just see friendship. I might see that they're trying to avoid you. I might see that they have a crush on you. That would pretty much play out into the cards. You can ask, why does this person at work hate me? You know, I barely know this person. Why are they being mean to me? You can ask that. And all of the hidden agendas and the cards will come out, and it will be clear. So you can definitely ask about relationships. You can ask about your family relationships, like, you know, should I be spending so much time with my family, or should I separate from them and maybe, you know, be more, a little more distant, or am I too wrapped up with my parents and brothers and sisters and that kind of thing. A lot of people are not clear on where they should be living, I've found. You know, should I be living in the city, or should I be out of the country or a different part of the country? I'm not clear, you know, should I be in a small town or a big city? Is this the right place for me? So you can definitely ask about that. But when you ask, you have to be specific. You can't just say, should I move? The proper question to ask is, gee, I've really been thinking about moving to Arizona, to Phoenix. What is the truth about what will occur if I move to Phoenix in the next year? That's a proper specific question. I can give you a helpful specific answer if you ask it like that. But if you just say, well, should I move? I need to, it's too general. The reading will be too general. It won't help you as much. So if you have specific questions ready to go, it will save time. You'll get more out of your reading. And you can definitely ask about spiritual goals. The tarot was kind of designed to give you spiritual type answers. So you can ask about a spiritual path you're on and what's the spiritual lesson for why my business failed or why I'm still single or that type of thing. You can definitely ask about the spiritual reasons you're going through events in your life. So I encourage all of you to either find a reader in your community, or if you want to do it by phone, I'm more than willing to help you. Like I said, it runs about, I'm about 85 cents a minute. So it's a much more comfortable rate for when I was working on the psychic line. I think it's a very fair rate. So you can find out a bit more about me and my readings at fountainsofyouth.net. And I'll spend the rest of the time. We have, 15 minutes left or so. I like to talk about politics once in a while and what's going on in the world and the news. And something's been going on over the last, the last 50 years or so. It's not talked about in the news much, but everyone needs to be aware of it, especially in America. And it's a plan that's being put together by some very powerful people, and it's called the New World Order. The New World Order. And once again, you won't hear about it in the mainstream media, but it is quietly being put together behind the scenes by powerful people, and this is well documented. If you want to read a great book about it, I'm going to recommend a book called En Route to Global Occupation. I'll say that again. En Route to Global Occupation by Gary Kah, K-A-H, K-A-H. And he was a high-ranking government official, and he stumbled onto this plan. And basically what it is to consolidate countries all together, to have a one-world government. And these powerful people, and these are, globalists, basically powerful, rich families, just to throw out a few names, the Rockefellers and the Rothschild family in Europe, they formed the League of Nations in the 1920s during World War I, about 100 years ago, and that League of Nations fell apart. So what they did is they kind of regrouped, and during the 1940s they put together a group called the Council on Foreign Relations. And the Council on Foreign Relations has complete access to our media today. If you look at a news show, whenever they need an expert, they turn to the Council on Foreign Relations. Or if you read in the newspaper, they have a lot of editorials from the Council on Foreign Relations. And they're very powerful. They're a private group. They're not elected. There are about 2,700 people. And the Democrats and Republicans, believe me, this cuts across both party lines. And there are people, everyone from Condoleezza Rice to Gary Hart to Walter Mondale to Jimmy Carter to Colin Powell to George Bush Sr. These people are all members of the Council on Foreign Relations. Media stars like Tom Brokaw and Dan Rather and Ted Koppel and Barbara Walters and Diane Sawyer and all of the editors of Time Magazine and Newsweek are all members of the Council on Foreign Relations. So you need to know about this group, and I'm going to give you a great website to find out more about them. They're very powerful, and they're trying to put together a one-world government. That's their agenda. That's their goal, and it's clearly in their writings. They publish a book called Foreign Affairs, and it's out in the open. They don't want sovereign nations. They don't want independent sovereign nations, and they're trying to blend countries together. So the great website is Infowars.com. Infowars.com. I'll say that one more time. Infowars.com. You can read all about the New World Order. Now, what they've done during the 1970s is they put together a trade group in Europe called the Common Market. And most Europeans went for it. They liked that idea of trading, so they joined the Common Market. Well, this has now mushroomed into the European Union. It is now a super state. And if you have friends in Europe, call them and talk to them. Most of them are pretty unhappy with this. They've lost their independent, individual sovereignty and representation within their country, and they're now locked into the European Union, which encompasses 35 countries. So it's a huge bureaucracy. And they've really lost their local representation on some major issues. Now guess what's happening in the United States? The exact same thing's happening, and it started with trade agreements. If you look at the NAFTA trade agreement and GATT that was passed in the 90s, it locked us in with Canada and Mexico. And now what's happening, we're having massive outsourcing of jobs. People are losing all their good blue-collar factory jobs. They're going off to China, and factories are being moved to South America and Mexico. And we're insourcing illegal immigrants, not legal immigrants, illegal immigrants. And this is no accident that this is happening. So they're flooding the country with immigrants from the third world nations to sort of level off the playing field. And what they want to create is an economic zone from the bottom of Mexico to the top of Canada, to the North Pole. And once again, that means we'd strictly be an economic zone. We'd no longer be an individual country. And if you go to Infowars.com, once again, you'll read all about this plan. So if you want the United States to remain an individual sovereign nation, if you really, you know, love this country and what's been created here, you really need to dig in and call your congressmen and talk to them. Just directly call your senators and your congressmen. And, you know, think about a third party or registering as an independent and getting away from the two main parties, because they are really both locked into this system of a new world order. And myself personally, I've gone to a third party, or once again, even if you just register as an independent and talk to your congressman, call them directly, visit their offices, and tell them, explain to them that we do not want a new world order. We do not want a one world government and the loss of our representation. And you'll get all the details if you read this book, En Route to Global Occupation by Gary Kah. And it's spelled K-A-H. You can get it, you know, at Amazon.com. En Route to Global Occupation. I don't agree with every single thing in the book, of course, but I agree with his overall, you know, what he was worked in government and what he found out about the New World Order. And so anyway, that's a great book. And Infowars.com, you can learn about this plan to create, to merge our nations together. So I'm going to spend the last few minutes talking about my DVD. I've done a lot of research in this area, and I've delved into ancient mysteries and where we all come from as a people and our hidden history. And this has come to be known as the ancient astronaut theory. And if many of you years ago, there was a very popular documentary called Chariots of the Gods. And if you saw that, it really delves into this ancient astronaut theory. Eric von Däniken made it popular, and millions of people have been researching it since the 1970s when this film and book became popular. So I've expanded upon it, and I've put together a slideshow from these ancient sites all around the world. For example, there's an incredible site in South America called the City of the Gods, and it's called Tiwanaku. And it was built thousands of years ago, and with these giant stones creating these pyramids and monuments. And the stones weigh over 100 tons or 200 tons, or in one case, they built this wharf, and one of the blocks is 400 tons. That's 800,000 pounds. So, you know, how could these primitive people, these hunter-gatherer tribes at the time, carve out these huge stones? And remember, the stone quarry is oftentimes, you know, miles and miles and miles away, and they would have had to have moved these giant stones into place. So I believe that an ancient race of beings, advanced beings, helped them out and really were the architects of these ancient monuments. So Tiwanaku is just one city within the Incan Empire where you can go there today and see these blocks still sitting there. And I believe, once again, they're remnants from an advanced race, an advanced group that used to be here. And the Bible alludes to this. They talk about giants being in the Bible. And there's one verse in Genesis that talks about the sons of the gods mating with the daughters of Eve and creating this other group. So anyway, it's very intriguing and very tantalizing. And I would love all of you to watch my DVD. It's a very, you know, I put it at a very low price because I wanted to get this information out. It's $15. So it's called The Sands of Time. And you can purchase it at my website. It's at fountainsofyouth.net. Fountainsofyouth.net. And what you'll see when you go there is, you know, my background's in the spa industry. You'll see that. But you'll see the tarot information about my tarot card readings, which are nationwide. Even though I'm based in Portland, Oregon, I read nationwide. And then you'll read about The Sands of Time, this DVD that I've put together. And it goes into my biography, how I got into all of this, because I certainly had a very traditional background. I grew up in the church and was not really exposed to any of this until I started doing some research as an adult. And so my biography is in there, and a complete description and a cover and the back cover of the DVD, The Sands of Time, so you can read all about it and all of the different topics that I cover. The slideshow, there's about 80 or 90 slides on the DVD, and we have excellent slides of Stonehenge, which is another mysterious ancient monument that we discover and talk about, and Easter Island, which is very intriguing, this small island in a very remote area of the South Pacific, and these giant statues that were built and placed all over the island, and these statues weigh, you know, 50 tons. They're just mammoth. And we really delve into whether these were truly created by the local tribes, the villagers. Although they didn't have any advanced tools, they just had simple chisels and awls. Or were these also created by an advanced race of beings who had, you know, technology, who knew how to levitate and how to had the tools to carve out these giant blocks of stones and move them. So it's very intriguing. We even touch on Mars. The planet Mars, where there's been photographs of pyramids. They even call it, they have a name for the city of pyramids. It's called Cydonia. And I include a couple of slides of the pyramids on Mars on my tape. So I do believe I kind of weave a story in my DVD, The Sands of Time, and I pull it all together. And you can read about it at fountainsofyouth.net. Fountainsofyouth.net. So I'm winding up now. My show is called Odyssey, and we've really covered a lot this hour. We've talked about aromatherapy and how important it is. It's a powerful tool in your life. And you can even start by going on the web. Just key in the word aromatherapy and just start reading about how you can use these oils in your life. And we talked about the New World Order, this plan to create an economic zone from the bottom of Mexico to the top of Canada, and how we would lose our independent sovereignty in the United States. And go to Infowars.com to get the daily news and a non-corporate, unfiltered news and learn all about the New World Order. And then, of course, we talked about the ancient monuments in my DVD, The Sands of Time, and the tarot card readings and that I do nationwide, not just in Portland, Oregon, but I do them through the phone nationwide at fountainsofyouth.net, fountainsofyouth.net. So I'm on every other Thursday at 9 in the morning and 7 p.m. at night. So I'm hoping to build an audience, and I really enjoy bringing this cutting-edge metaphysical information for you. If you go to the archive, my last show was fascinating. We talked about sacred geometry and how you can actually use these symbols, these pyramids, these hexagrams, these septagrams, these octagons, and you can, there's a company that's in the tape, you can call them, and they will put together these sculptures, and you can put them in your house, and they give you energy, and they really help you out with your mental focus and your physical stamina and your spiritual life. So they're wonderful if you go to the archive and see my last show. So once again, I'm called Odyssey. I'm on every other Thursday, 9 in the morning live to 7 p.m. It's taped. So like I said, I'm here to bring you cutting-edge metaphysical topics and talk about ancient mysteries. And I look forward to seeing you in 2 weeks, and we'll do it all again. Thank you for joining me. Goodbye.